Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's been brought to my attention that a recent letter from the regional administrator concerning the at-sea filleting of ground fish has what some interpret to be incorrect interpretations of the council's intent when the regulations concerning this were voted on by the council, and I've been asked to bring this up for some discussion.
Anybody want to discuss it, talk about it?
There seems to be some misperception in my area, anyway. I thought all the letter did is clarify that you had to land fillets with the skin on. And I don't see that that's onerous at all. But there's some, at least in my area, there's people interpreting this as you can't fillet fish at sea, and I don't think it says that at all. I read it pretty carefully. So unless there's something that I didn't see, I don't really understand what the big deal is. But there certainly is some misperception out there in the industry.
Pat?
Well, the letter was intended, as Dave said, to be a correction and a clarification for something that we didn't think was clear. Obviously, we need to work on that a little bit. There are two parts to it. One is you have to land fillets from legal-sized fish, and the second one is they have to be landed skin-on. And it's our interpretation that that's consistent with the groundfish regulations, or with the groundfish plan, rather.
Jim Adler.
Once you land, can you take the skin off?
Tom Hill.
Yeah, I don't want to get into a long discussion, but I am pretty confident that that wasn't the council's intent when we did this. I'm quite clear that since I was there, that the discussion was around the issue of being able to dispose of the racks and skins so that you didn't have to bring them to the dock. The problem from a processing standpoint, if you have any volume of fish, why, you're either going to be leaving the skins or the racks and having to try to dispose of them if you're not operating the next day or the day after. And it gets to be a public health issue when you start dumping them in the dumpster and you're not supposed to dump them overboard. So I don't want to put too fine a point on it, but from my recollection, the council knowingly said that for those fisheries that were dealing with this stuff, that it was, anybody here who's got any knowledge of the fishery can identify the difference between a haddock fillet, a codfish fillet, a pollock fillet, and a catfish, which are the only primary species that the recreational fishery catches. So it's not a matter of identification. Any knowledgeable person on the water can do that because they're distinctly different. I don't want to make too fine a point of it, but I actually believe the council intended to allow them to do so for very specific reasons.
Frank.
Yeah, thank you. And first, Pat, I think you misspoke a little bit when you said that the fillets had to be the minimum size because there was an exemption there. Okay. Okay, I misspoke. But I'm going to have a question now then. I'm assuming this only applies to fish that have a size limit on them. Because in this section, it is very clear that we're talking about minimum fish size, and the skin is left on them to identify the fish. So therefore, I would have to assume, which could be wrong, because that's how we get into this mess to begin with, that wolfish, cuss, red hake, white hake, redfish, and ocean pout can be filleted and skinned. Well, in this table, I'm reading from here, it says there's no recreational size limit. So I don't know if that's correct or not. I mean, the intent, Amendment 5, there were no bag limits for recreational. So it made absolutely no sense to have to leave the skin on the fish to identify a fish that you didn't have a limit on. And I can understand now that things have changed from Amendment 5 to Amendment 7. There's no doubt on that. But if we're going to go by the strict interpretation to say that, well, it's not a strict interpretation because we're trying to figure out what the intent was. But if the intent was to comply with Amendment 5, there was no reason to have skin on fish that you didn't have limits on. So either the intent was Amendment 5, or it's Amendment 7, or, well, 13, or wherever we are now. It's probably 13 where it changed. I understand, and I can understand the services on this, and I can understand totally the enforcement. But if we're going to say what the intent of the council was for Amendment 5, I don't believe that this letter clarifies it. And I also know that for the last 15 years, or whenever this went into effect, if you check the Federal Code of Registers, to me, it was silent on it. Because it said the exemption was for party and charter vessels. And I can tell you right now, for the last 15 years, if this has been the law, I have been breaking the law, along with every single boat that I know that is in the industry. So I'm not sure where we go with this, but good one.
Paul, do we have a keeper of intent on staff?
Actually, I was going to ask Karen, what do we... Karen is, by the way. what
Karen,
do
you've
we,
just been demoted.
What do we have in our files from Amendment 5? We didn't have... we didn't have that guy doing the transcripts, but we did have tapes. And did we do summaries at the time, or no? It's just the tape. And we still have those tapes.
I don't think we're going to solve this tonight. Pretty confident we won't. I'm not sure that we're going to solve it at the Groundfish Committee either. It comes down to mining through whatever information the council has in its archive. So, Tom Neese apparently has done that.
No, I haven't. But I always get baffled by some of this stuff. But I do have a question. I've been kind of confused at some of the back and forth between the RA and some of the council members. I'm looking at the letter that went out, and I can see where people might read the letter and interpret it as saying that they have to, that fish fillets have to be larger than the minimum size. But if I read the regs, it says there's an exception that fish fillets for recreational fishermen may possess fillets less than the minimum size. Am I reading the regs right? Okay. All right. Well, federal regs.
Frank?
I know we're not going to solve it tonight, but also if you go just in the regulations prior to that, it says the minimum fish size for regulated species will be set appropriate to the increase in mesh size to minimize discards and undersized fish. If that has anything to do with recreational in this section, I'd like to know how this section can be interpreted to mean minimum fish sizes have anything to do with recreational on this. Because everything in here, and then it talks about, you know, what is the, you know, L25 and on this, and diamond mesh and square mesh. And if you go to Amendment 5, there's probably two places that mentions recreational. One is where it says the exemption here, and then later on it says the antenna on page 74, and it's blank like the Watergate tapes were.
Tom Hill.
Yeah, just quickly, Mr. Chairman, can the staff do a look back? And I don't want to beat a dead horse tonight. It's been a long 3 days, and I would just be grateful if they'd look. I'm pretty confident of my recollection, but I'm sure the record will speak for itself.
I'll, without objection, I'll see what I can dig up working with the staff, and apparently there's an objection.
Well, no, we can give the tapes to NIMS who made the wrong, you know, they can go through the tapes. Isn't this a new intention?
I don't think it's wrong.
You don't think it's wrong?
No.
And you don't want to know if you made a mistake in that?
We want you to find out if it's...
Game of hot potato. Tom Neese.
Okay, it's late, but what is the objection? Landing them with the skin on? Is that what we need to check? Okay.
And I also need an answer to the question that I asked about the species that don't have size limits. I'm assuming that, see, now this has to do with size limits. That anything without a size limit can be filleted and skinned.
Well, we can write a letter and ask that question.
And while we're at it, I also, somewhere along the line, there should be, I know it's late, but if you go through all the plans, there is no consistency between any of the fish and any of the plans on what you can do and what you can't do. So it is very, very confusing. I mean, fluke, which is probably the most valuable species, says you can fillet them as long as it's okay to do it in the state that you're in. So, I mean...
All right, let's start with the fish with no minimum sizes, and we'll go on from there. Okay. Anything else from the council? Anything else on our other business? Joe, you might get the last word. No, I guess there's more.
I know. Joe, I'm sorry to do this. I know it's Valentine's Day. Everybody wants to get out of here, you know, so don't I. I brought this up in the past, and I've got shut down, you know, but I think the rules have changed since then. And I guess what I'm asking for is, and just bear with me for a minute, is a one-day running clock. And I want to make my pitch for that, is that, you know, sometimes we're in for 3 or 4 days of bad weather right now. And you people know codfish situation out there. You know, we get lucky, and I happen to get 2 days' worth, and fish are $2, and fuel is at $3.20 a gallon right now for me. And the big scale one is, again, for that night. I want to be able to keep that fish, because a lot of times I do keep it. And what happens is I lay two outside the demarcation line, outside of Gloucester, even sometimes 7 or 8 hours, just take a beating. And again, fuel at $3. I'm trying to generate some interest in the council, maybe having me keep that fish, especially today, where everybody has VMS. In the past, I got shut down because of enforcement issues. The way I look at it is, you know, it's going to be less discards, less time on habitat. I'm just trying to, anybody, you know, has any interest in that? I mean, why throw the fish away? I'm going to give you under 2 to 1, I give you 48 hours. If I'm out for 12 hours, let's say, and I bring in 2 days' worth, it's very easy now with boat tracks. I mean, you have a thing for offshore vessels. I'm going to give you the time. It's not like that. Instead of throwing that fish away, why can't I just keep it just that one extra day? Why should I wait 24 hours and a minute out there? If I'm out 18 hours and I want to come into the dock, why can't I do that? And push the page in boat tracks or whatever and take the full 48 hours. I mean, what is wrong with that? I mean, we're always talking about not throwing fish away. This is a perfect opportunity to do this. And I think it's a safety issue, too, because I see a lot of little guys now, you know. And sometimes it's within 1 or 2 hours. You know, everybody's trying to wait for that 24 hours in a minute, and you get caught in a gale of wind and stuff, and you're just laying out there taking a beating, you know. Now with VMS, we all have VMS. Why can't we just do that? And instead of throwing that fish away, not being counted, bringing it in, taking the extra 24 hours and count it. I mean, is there any interest? I mean, maybe somebody make a motion to bring it up to the next level or something. I don't know.
Yeah, sorry to cut you off, Joe. I'm looking at the effort control section of the document that we have, and we have things like count days at sea as a minimum of 24 hours, consider adjustments in differential days at sea program, trip limit triggers on stocks with trip limits, and then adjustments to A, B, and C, days at sea split as a tool. We don't have a specific, what did you call it? The running clock?
Running clock provisions. Just a one-day running clock.
Yeah. We don't specifically have that in here as an alternative.
I'm just trying to save fish and give you guys more time.
No, I understand.
It makes so much sense, you know.
Well, I'll turn to the council. I mean,
if there's any interest in, you know.
Do you think that the 4 bullets contained in the document, which are effort control alternatives, have enough latitude amongst all of them to consider something like this at the committee level? Pat Kirkle.
I would argue that they don't, but the issue with this has been an enforcement concern. So if the council wants to reconsider it, I suggest that you have the enforcement committee take it up instead of the groundfish committee.
There's a second. Seconded by Dana Rice to advance this issue to the enforcement committee. Tom Neese?
We didn't hear who made the motion nor specifically what the motion is.
To advance the concept of the running clock to the enforcement committee to review to see if the enforcement problems that were cited in the past still exist. And it was seconded by Dana Rice. I've got Chris Kellogg's hand up. Chris?
Joe mentioned a 24-hour running clock. I don't know if that's different than looking at the running clock over a different time period. But,
Mike Leary.
This is actually allowed now in Framework 42. When we put differential counting in, there is a running clock provision. If you're not fishing in the differential area, but you have two limits of cod and you've been out for 25 hours, you can do this and come in. These guys are getting penalized for fishing in that 2-to-1 area.
Dave Gath.
Yeah, I think maybe the actual question to ask is, can the VMS macro codes be reworked to allow foot time being counted based on fish landed? In other words, you notify them that you've got 2 days worth of fish and you get charged for 48 hours in the differential area. I mean, I agree with everything Joe said. You haven't lived until you spent a night on my boat in January, 3.5 miles offshore with no heat, waiting for 24 hours and a minute to be up so you can get charged 48. You know, it's kind of anachronistic now that we have VMS. It may have been legitimate before we had it, but if you can just send a macro code that says, I got 2 days worth of cod, you know, dock me the appropriate amount of time, you know, from a safety point of view, I can't imagine why we wouldn't be doing this.
Just briefly, Mr. Chairman, I don't think, personally, my motion is intended to refer the issue to the Enforcement Committee. I'm presuming Joe or anybody else that's interested in the subject matter will go there in order to lay out the issues. I'm not clear that we need to spend a lot of time tonight trying to sort out all of the angles.
I prefer not to get into a protracted debate over the merits of this. Any further discussion? All those in favor, raise your hand. Twelve opposed. Abstentions. One abstention. The motion carries. 12-01. Anything else? Eric?
I'll keep it short. You've got basically five options for a sector allocation in front of you, and I counted 29 pages of analysis on the four options previous to today. For a lot of us in the industry, those different analyses are difficult to understand, and for most of us, in fact, I would probably say all of us, what we really want to know is how it affects us and our bottom line and our businesses. I think a very helpful thing the council could ask the PDT to do would be to list the formulas, the constants used, such as the total number of days at sea or the total length baseline or whatever we need to basically plug in our boats and see how these different formulas affect us. Because if I'm somebody who has fished very little and I stand to gain from potentially from one of these formulas, you know, based on the capacity of my boat, I'd like to see, you know, just what happens with this. If I'm a guy who's fished really hard and I want to go by history, you know, I'd like to analyze based on these different formulas what this means to my business. It's very difficult for us to sit there and look at these formulas and scratch our heads and say, well, geez, Massachusetts loses 1.5% there. And if you were able to provide us with the formulas and maybe the tax for those 19 species over the last, maybe just last year, something you already have, at least we'd have a ballpark idea of how it would affect us as individuals without the guesswork that, you know, has been going on after every meeting. People are trying to figure out what are their numbers, what are they using. It's just a request, and if you know, maybe you could put that up on the website, then the whole industry could have a much more informed discussion of how these things are going to affect our individual businesses. Thank you.
How did I know your hand was coming up, Tom? Tom?
The denominators are on the website. They were posted this afternoon.
You're reading minds.
As for the target tax, I'll put those on there as well. I mean, the target tax, fishing year 2009 target tax, are in Framework 42. But we did make some adjustments to allow for recreational catch and something else, Canadian catch. The other thing that's not on the webpage yet, because you guys voted after we had put them on the webpage, is the total days at sea that are allocated, and it's about 38,700 A days. I'll put that on there tomorrow.
Thanks, Tom. Anything further? John Williamson.
Good John Williamson, Ocean Conservancy. Happy Valentine's Day, everyone. I love this process.
So is your wife?
Yeah, I just talked to her. She's holding dinner for me. Going back to the last few votes on ground fish and the other additional items that have been added to Amendment 16, I just want to get up and reiterate our concern that try to keep attention focused on the two things that we feel are absolute musts that you have completed and ready to go in June, and that is effort controls that meet the rebuilding standards, and a process for incorporating ACLs and accountability measures consistent with days at sea management, which is the plan that you have now, and that those be in this amendment at a minimum. Finding this whole discussion around sectors to be really heartening and very exciting. What I personally would like to see is some discussion at some point very soon of what are the priority things that should be included additionally to the items that I've just mentioned to make sure that at least the sector development that's going on within the industry can progress into the next couple of years in the development of Amendment 17 is what we're assuming. I haven't heard any priority setting, clear priority setting yet for the next 4 months. And I just want to make sure that everybody understands that we are certainly expecting to see those two items in the document at the very minimum. Thank you.
Okay. We're done. If I get a motion to adjourn.
Move to adjourn, Mr. Chairman.
Seconded. Dr. Nelson, don't be a stranger.
Hey, it's been a pleasure, gentlemen and ladies.